as Mel said, I was originally going to speak tonight exclusively about WikiLeaks and its alleged key whistleblower, the 23-year-old US Army private Bradley Manning, about how people's power is confronting the empire in the context of information freedom, about the importance of celebrating those who tell truth to power, and linked to this, the need to support the alternative media that offers voices and angles not seen in the likes of our most popular and accessible newspapers. And I will speak on that. But first, I'd like to share a few things that have come out of my past week, from moments of incredible inspiration to those of profound sadness as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about what my weeks looked like, because I feel that the underlying theme has been one of people's power. I've witnessed and reflected upon people and upon communities who exemplify the idea of speaking truth to power. So I've just returned from a week camping in the rural town of Tara, which is in southwest Queensland. It's about 300 kilometres west of Brisbane. If you haven't heard of it, that's okay. Most people hadn't, and I hadn't heard of it before I'd gone either. So, in the bush, there's less pollution and the stars are brighter, and the kookaburras wake you up instead of an alarm clock, which I think for people like me and probably most of you in this room is kind of exciting. After you spend most of your time in the city, looking at stars in the sky is actually exciting. So another exciting thing about getting out of the city was that life seems to happen at a more comfortable pace in the country, a pace that allows you to take stock and feel a little bit of gratitude and to feel thankful that for everything that we have here on this earth. And so while feeling gratitude for our planet and talking about the simple pleasures such as the stars in the sky and the kookaburras in the trees, I think it's important for all of us to properly appreciate our community and also our land. It's here that values such as solidarity extend from, and because of that solidarity, it's justice that we seek out. So tonight I want to speak a bit about the people in the communities who found solidarity and who are working together to take back the power and to seek out justice, not just for a select few, but for all of us. I'm going to share a few stories that have really influenced me, and they're stories about people who are resisting efforts of powerful corporations, including our government, efforts that limit our right to call our society a democracy. Sometimes we let those who run this country forget that the word democracy actually comes from two words that essentially mean people's power. We could argue that our democracy functions better comparatively than others who care to call their societies democracies. And we can of course argue that democracy is a better model than other certain models such as dictatorships. And I think we do this every time we wage a war in a country in order to try and liberate them, taking with us our guns and our tanks in an effort to export this prized so-called democracy that we in the West think we have. But if our democracy was working as it should, if it was truly representative of people's power, we wouldn't need to measure it comparatively, and we certainly wouldn't need to export it in the wars that we wage. We wouldn't need to be sitting in this room either trying to figure out ways to take the power back. So back to the reason I was in Queensland this past week. The little town of Tara is on the front line of a resource war, a battle that has put rural communities up against multinational gas corporations. When we think of resource conflicts, we probably would think about the Middle East and the attempts to control their oil. In Tara, multinational gas corporations have moved in, and they've done so with the help of our government, both state and federal. They're being allowed to take over. The gas companies are clearing stretches of bushland to lay down pipelines to carry gas. They're building gas wells in people's front yards, in their backyards, and all across their land. They've got thousands planned. They're building noisy compressor stations. They're leaving behind giant ponds of toxic water, water that we don't know what to do with, water that just sits there, because we have no way to get rid of it. They're turning this beautiful country setting, this small township of Tara, they're turning it into a giant gas field. But local residents are fighting back, and that's heartening to see. They're locking their gates to the gas companies, quite literally locking their gates and saying no to the gas companies coming onto their land to drill and to clear land to take over. They're saying no to the destruction of their land, the destruction of their air, the taking of their water. And importantly, they're saying no to having their rights walked all over. Special legislation exists in Queensland to benefit the gas companies over the people. Anyone who attempts to stop the work of these gas companies, be it standing in the path of a bulldozer, blockading an access road, or setting up a picket line at a work site, can not only face the regular offences that some of us face at different protests, such as failure to move on, trespass, or obstructing traffic. There's special legislation that's been created, especially for the gas companies. It's called the Petroleum Act of 2004. And this means that people who don't want gas on their properties can be faced with a $50,000 fine if they decide they'd like to do something about it. Coming up soon, Drew Hutton will be facing court where he is charged under that act and where he does face a $50,000 fine. So that will be interesting to watch and see what happens there. So last weekend at the showground in Tara, Lock the Gate, which is an alliance of groups that are saying no to these gas companies, they put on a festival, and it brought together people who were campaigning against coal seam gas from all over New South Wales and Queensland. And I should also note that there is a campaign as well on the other side of the country, which brings in the Indigenous communities as well. It's happening in the Kimberleys, which just happens to be sitting on a gas field as well. Now, the festival was 4 days of workshops that was learning about people's campaigns, how they're handling the gas companies in their communities. There were local musicians from the community coming in as well, and there was direct action, which was fun. We went out into the community and kind of checked out what was actually going on in Tara. This campaign is incredibly exciting because the people that are a part of it are so diverse. The issue of coal seam gas drilling has drawn in all the usual suspects, people like us, the Greens, Friends of the Earth, Six Degrees, heaps of other activists and NGOs that we see around the place trying to protect our environment. But it's also brought in local communities, people who've had nothing to do with activism before in their life and probably never expected that they'd need to. There's farmers and rural landowners. They're offended by the side of dreadlocks. So I've got these guys with broad Akubra hats hanging out with hippies from Nimbin, which is kind of fun to see. So they've come together and there's a real sense of solidarity because we all know that locking the gate to the gas companies is the right thing to do. And chatting to one of the guys that was at the front line of this campaign, just saying, why are you doing it? Why not just take the money from the gas company and move on? Why not just go back, go elsewhere? And he said, because it's wrong, because what they're doing is wrong. So it's not just us that are in this campaign. It's not just the left. It's not just the socialists or the Greens. It's everybody. Talking to one of the landowners in Tara, he pointed out that the type of people that live in the Tara residential estates have built a lifestyle. These are people that they have goats and pigs and cows and chickens. They grow their own vegetables and they get their water from rainwater tanks. They're living sustainably. He said they're living the way that we're all meant to be living. And yet the government's trying to force them not to. And so this motley crew that now unite around the coal seam gas campaign are working together. They're using non-violent direct action, a model that Lock the Gate calls that of non-cooperation. Small but important acts of civil disobedience, such as June Norman, the 70-year-old great-grandmother who sat in the path of a truck that was trying to get through, and she got arrested for that. To take back the power from the big gas companies, to demand that our laws protect our local communities, and that our government represents us, and not the corporations. It's this model of resistance that I think we should observe when challenging power. So I'd now like to talk briefly about someone who decided to dedicate his life to challenging the status quo, that status quo of injustice. I'd travelled to Tara with a crew from Newcastle, and while we were there, we received the sad news that Pete Gray had died. He'd been battling cancer for over 2 years, and he was only 30. Late last year, Pete achieved global notoriety for symbolically throwing his shoes at John Howard when he was appearing on ABC's Q&A. As he threw his shoes, he said, "That's for the Iraqi dead, and this is for the Iraqi living." His girlfriend was there too, and she cried out that Howard has blood on his hands, and I think these are sentiments that probably most of us in this room would share. Pete spoke to the ABC the next day to explain why he did what he did. And he said, "I did it so that there was a chance that thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in the rest of the world, and particularly in the Middle East, could see that not every Australian was behind the decision to invade and rule the country of Iraq." Howard shrugged off the incident. However, Prime Minister Julia Gillard told media that she felt it was disrespectful and wrong. And I'm sure these are sentiments that Pete would have no doubt used to describe Howard's war, the war that's now killed over 100,000 Iraqis. Well, the shoe-throwing incident was what earned Gray his acclaim as a gutsy anti-war activist. To his community and to his friends, Pete was more than just the guy who threw shoes at John Howard. He was a committed and passionate activist, and he spent the last 10 years of his life campaigning tirelessly across a range of social justice and environmental campaigns. He was an integral member of Newcastle direct action group Rising Tide. Rising Tide issued a statement in tribute to their friend, and they said he believed in justice and fighting for what's right, whatever way that he could. They said that if that meant writing a letter, he'd write the letter, and if that meant putting himself in front of a coal ship, then that's what he'd do. If he saw a way to make a meaningful difference to an issue, he'd take it. While our politicians continue to fight over a carbon price in Canberra, there's people like Pete who are actually out there doing what they think needs to be done to make a difference. It was Pete who was behind the idea for the annual People's Blockade of the world's largest coal port in Newcastle, an event that many of us have been to where people take to the harbour and stop the movement of coal ships in and out of the harbour for the day. In 2006, Pete won a landmark ruling in the New South Wales Land and Environment Court, requiring the climate change impacts of burning coal to be considered in the environmental assessment of coal mines. In a video interview filmed during Climate Camp 2008, where Pete was amongst a group of activists that were arrested during an action that stopped a coal train, he said that he hoped he'd be able to look all those who came after him in the eye and tell them that he'd done his darndest to make the world a better place. He said that he'd had a great day. He said he couldn't think of a time when he'd had a better day. He got fined $400 that day, and he said that it cost $400 to get arrested, but that stopping dangerous runaway climate change was priceless. However it is that people came to know or know of Pete, the memory that he leaves behind is unlike one that will be left behind by our so-called leaders. In throwing his shoes at John Howard, Pete was demanding better from those who are meant to represent us. While Howard's legacy is irreversibly marred by war and by conflict, Pete's is one of peaceful commitment to creating a more just world. It's his example that we should look to when we want to figure out how to build a popular movement that challenges dominant power structures. And so finally, I'd like to turn our attention to Bradley Manning. He's alleged to have leaked military documents, including the collateral murder video and the diplomatic cables to WikiLeaks. He saw something that was wrong and he decided to speak out. He now faces the death penalty or life in prison. When we grow up, we're told to tell the truth. But then as adults, we see situations like the one that Bradley Manning is in now, where telling the truth can quite literally cost you your life. This nuanced debate takes up many positions, like whether our governments should be allowed to have secrets, and if so, which secrets should they be allowed to have. It also takes up the fact that some people raise that what happened with Manning's case is that if he did what he is said to have done, he did break the law. That's leaking documents to WikiLeaks. So if he broke the law, he should surely face the consequences, as we all should. The more extreme of this type of view is allowed to be broadcast to millions of people on the likes of Fox News. This indicates the importance of alternative media not driven by corporate and government aligned interests. But that question of law raises a bigger question, that if our law allows someone like Bradley Manning to be held in maximum custody for a year without trial, and if our law says that he can be killed if the prosecution decides that that's the punishment that they'd like, then who is our law protecting? If our law is democratic for the power of the people, would it really look like this? The case of Bradley Manning, the Queensland coal seam gas campaign, these things have inspired a new group of citizens to become activists. Because people can see that treating a 23-year-old like Bradley in the way that he has been treated, that's not what justice looks like. We should strive to live our lives with moral consistency and do what we think is right. And when people ask us why we're doing something, which happens often to people like us, we shouldn't be too defensive. We should explain, we should engage with these people and have conversations, and we should think about it ourselves. We should go away from here and think about why it is that we choose to do life like this. We should look to the community in Tara who are battling the gas companies and their state government. We should look to Pete Gray. We should look to Bradley Manning. We should listen and share over the next 2 days, and we should let ourselves be inspired to speak truth to power and to take the power back.